Well, I'm very happy to be back here at St. Patrick. I'm usually in the Philippines, but when I come back to visit my community, Anuim community in Oxford, I like to come here, and Father Charles is an old friend of mine, and he asked me to offer the Mass today, so I'm happy to do so. We're in the Easter season. As you know, Easter Sunday was 2 weeks ago, and on that day, naturally, we read a gospel passage about what happened on Easter Day. And last Sunday was Divine Mercy Sunday, the eighth day of Easter, and once again, we read a gospel passage about what happened on Easter Day, as well as what happened 1 week later. Remember when Jesus appeared to Thomas and showed him his wounds. Well, today, 2 weeks later, the gospel takes us again to what happened on Easter Day. We keep going back to Easter Day. If you get the impression that the church thinks that the resurrection is a big deal, you're right. It is a big deal. It's such a big deal that Jesus rose bodily from the dead, that without it, without the resurrection, our whole religion collapses like a house of cards. Without the resurrection, we've got nothing. You probably saw the video of that bridge that collapsed, the key bridge that collapsed in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. A big container ship plowed into some kind of a supporting pier, and the whole bridge just collapsed into the river. It's a good image of what happens to Christianity if you remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you remove that, the whole thing collapses. Okay, so now we go back to the events of Easter Day, or in this case, we go back to the events of Easter evening to ponder more deeply what in the world this is all about. This is not just normal day-to-day life. So the two disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and who finally recognized him in the breaking of the bread, they have rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others. And while they're there, Jesus himself appears again. This is the evening of Easter Day. What does he say to them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Shalom. We heard that last Sunday. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus comes to give. That's what the risen Lord keeps saying. Peace be with you. God is not out to condemn us and to judge us and to destroy us. He's offering us peace. What's the reaction of the apostles in this reading? They don't say, and with your spirit. It says here, they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. It's quite a reaction, but probably we would react the same way. If you ever met anyone who's risen from the dead, that's probably how you'd react. Well, there's a quick lesson we can take from this reaction. The risen Lord Jesus is not just a symbol of the lasting impact of Jesus' message. Some people say, and you'll hear this kind of argument all the time, if you listen to people in the world, people will say that since no one can really rise from the dead, all this talk about resurrection is just a clever symbolic way of saying that Jesus' wisdom and Jesus' moral teaching live on in the hearts of his followers. And his teachings continue to inspire us to this day, even though he died. Well, that's all nonsense. That doesn't make any sense at all. The disciples here are not just preserving the precious memory of Jesus. They think they're seeing a ghost. They're startled. They're terrified. Something really has happened here. And they can't take it in at first. What's a ghost? Well, a person without a body, right? It's a spirit without a body. No body. Well, that idea that the resurrection is just a symbol, well, that has no body either. And it's not real Christianity if you don't believe in the resurrection. That's a ghost religion if you don't believe in the resurrection. You've got a religion without a body. But Christianity has a body, a risen body, a real person who's here. And so Jesus, from the very start, obliterates that idea. He says, look at me. Look at me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. Get over it. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a hallucination. I'm not just a symbol. So he really makes it obvious. And then when that doesn't work, he tries something very, very practical, very real. He says, do you have anything here to eat? Yeah, okay. What's more normal than that? Do you have anything to eat? Reminds me of my 15-year-old nephew. He's always looking for something to eat. But that's it. That's ghosts don't eat. Well, so they give him some baked fish and he eats it. Great. Delicious. Baked fish. So the first point is clear. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. He's not just a symbol of some wise moral teaching that from some long gone teacher. He's alive. He's here right now. Not just the right now of Easter evening, but the right now of today, April 14th. Okay, now let's reflect on another thing that Jesus says to the apostles. Aside from peace be with you, he says, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Now he says this because they're shocked that he showed up like that. They are troubled. He knows it. Ghosts are troubling. Well, we are troubled. We're very often troubled. We're troubled when things are frightening, when things are painful, overwhelming. We're troubled when we're hurt. We're troubled when we're out of control. We're troubled when we think we're losing our minds. So the question of Jesus is addressed to us today. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? If we're honest, we have lots of reasons. Lots of reasons to be troubled. It's a troubling world. We have trouble in our life. Now, it's true, some of the reasons why we're troubled are not very important. You know, we don't like the weather or our team lost or something like that. Can't have our way. This morning I had stomach trouble. And even the word trouble, stomach trouble. And I said, oh man, I hope I can make it through the mass. There's no bathroom in this sacristy. It's an old church. But that's just inconvenience, right? And that may be embarrassing, but it's just inconvenience. It's not really trouble. But we do have some reasons for trouble that are serious. We have financial crises or have illnesses, serious illnesses, even life-threatening, marriage problems, family problems, addictions, social breakdown, political conflicts. This sort of thing is really troubling. Tomorrow's April 15th. That's troubling to a lot of people. Have to get their taxes in. It's troubling, especially if you don't have the money. Or now some people are happy to turn in their returns and get some money back. But anyway, there's lots of reasons why we're troubled. And if you think you're troubled, well, think about the people in Gaza or the people in eastern Ukraine or in any place where the troubling issue is not just inconvenience, but survival. That's troubling. Now, what's Jesus' answer to all this? What's Jesus' answer to the apostles when they're troubled? What's his answer to us when we are troubled? Himself. Himself. He doesn't have, a book, a theory, some kind of a get well self-help project. He offers himself. Not an idea about him, not someone else's report about him, but himself, his real presence. That's why he goes to such extent to show them that he's really there. And he's doing the same for us right now. He's really trying to make us know that he's really here. So we learn in this the importance of face-to-face encounters, of personal face-to-face encounters. I know during the COVID era, we all learned how to meet online and how to work from home and how to have virtual meetings and virtual everything. And sometimes that's necessary, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But with Jesus and with all our most important personal relationships, it's not good enough to have virtual meetings. Now, virtual is not good enough. AI-generated whatever is not good enough. There has to be real, personal, face-to-face encounters. That's how relationships grow. We have to have them. Now, this is where the Easter challenge comes in, right? I mean, there's one major difference between our face-to-face encounters with one another, with our loved ones, and our face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And that is, we can't see his face. Now, you can see me, I can see you, we can talk to each other, we can react to each other, we can read each other's body language, we can get the tone of each other's voice. There's lots of ways we communicate, but we can't do that with Jesus. And this is the challenge. You can't see him. And that can give us the idea that he's not here, because we're not used to being with people that we can't see. Or we might even get the idea that he's not real at all. Wrong. It's all wrong. This is where the power of faith comes in. We're not here to talk to someone who's not real. We're not here to talk to someone who's not here. We're going to engage faith. See, when we meet Jesus, we don't see him with our eyes, but we do see him with eyes of faith. We see him with eyes of the heart. Yes. We hear him. In the word of God, we hear him. It's his word. Scriptures are his word. That's why when he says, "Why are you troubled?" we can hear it. Oh, he's asking me why I'm troubled. It's not just a record of what he said 2,000 years ago. He's saying it today. There's a great line in today's gospel. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And this is what he does to us. He opens our minds, our hearts, to recognize that he has something to say to us in these readings, so that we can hear him. Because we can't hear him with our ears most of the time, right? But with our hearts we can hear him, as we're doing right now. We can see him, not with our eyes, but we can see him in creation. We can see him in the beauty of creation. We can see him in the signs of his goodness every day, our daily bread. If the eyes of our hearts are open, we can see him. We can touch him in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist. We meet him in his people. We meet him in the church. We meet him in believers, the baptized. We meet him in the poor. And this isn't just pious talk. This is really how we encounter Jesus. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Now, think for a moment about the sacraments. And since we're talking or reflecting about personal encounters with Jesus, in the sacraments, there always has to be a physical presence, a physical element, right? Otherwise, we don't receive the sacrament. We don't receive the grace. We can't receive Holy Communion virtually. We can't confess our sins and be absolved virtually. We can't call up the pastor and say, "I want to confess." They have to be physically present. You can't be baptized. There's no such thing as a virtual baptism or a virtual confirmation. Why not? Because God wants us to know that he is with us. He wants us to know that he's real. Now, he's not limited to this world. He's not limited to what we feel, what we touch, what we can understand. But he's not just a theory either. He's real. He's as real as baked fish. He's as real as bloody wounds. He's as real as water, as oil, as the laying on of hands. Actually, more real than any of that. Those are the signs, and through the visible signs, we receive the invisible grace. That's the sacraments, right? Visible signs, invisible grace. So by means of what we can see and touch, he reveals to us a life beyond what we can see and touch, which is even more real than what we can see and touch. That's Easter faith. So Jesus is showing us the way beyond the natural way. He's showing us the way to eternal life. In fact, he himself is the way. That's why I said his answer to our troubles is himself. He's the way. So Jesus knows that we're troubled. He knows it actually better than we do. But he doesn't leave us in our troubles. He doesn't abandon his troubled children, his troubled sheep. He comes to us. He is with us. He's really with us, with a power, with a love that transcends our troubles, gives us hope for life with him forever. This is Easter. This is Easter. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is with us, and we are the witnesses that he sends out into the world so that other people will know he is with us. Amen. Hallelujah.